Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5 of Goddamn GameCube. If you like our show, please leave us a rating on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. Thank you, and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Riley are your hosts today. And today we are talking about the most annoying game ever made. It is Dead Rising on the Xbox 360. I'm being facetious. Riley, why don't you take it away? But before you do, I just want to have a cute anecdote that this was actually the first Xbox 360 game I ever played. A friend of the show who we call Baber, he got an Xbox 360 around like right when it came out, like 2005, November. But I remember going to his house to try the Xbox 360 and we played Dead Rising. I think it was Christmas 2007. I got Dead Rising and Gears of War as a Christmas gift. I think it was Christmas 2006 going into 2007. So yeah. That was like the beginning of my 360 journey. Was this game, so I actually played a lot of it.
It does feel quite like an early Xbox 360 yep. game. Is there anything in particular that you can summarize this game in a sentence or two?
How I describe this game is it's... people think about... How do I put this? The marketing for this game is you're in a mall filled with zombies, kill as many as you want in funny ways, but that's not actually what you do in right. the game. So I actually think it's to the game's credit where they're trying... We'll get into it, but they're trying to tell like a kind of a story about like American consumption and like American greed, and the zombies are really an obstacle.
Yeah.
It's really not a go kill zombies with silly stuff. Not really.
Well, I think what I would say is that it seems like a silly zombie game and it's actually like fairly serious.
That's a good way to put it. Where like all the advertising is it's silly, but yeah. the game is actually not silly at all. Yeah. Well, it is, but...
Bits and pieces. I mean, so what makes it interesting to me is that it basically has that Majora's Mask like 3-day cycle kind of thing, but you don't rewind. You're like, well, you kind of do, but not in the same way. Like, so... Essentially, you get dropped off. You're a photojournalist. You get dropped off into this town in Colorado that nobody has had any contact with. And, you get a helicopter ride in, like, so you can get past all the military blockades and stuff. And he drops you off on top of a mall. And it's very like, and this was actually subject of a lawsuit I found out, very similar to the Dawn of the Dead movies, because they're both in a mall. And
got so it.
It's kind of that, playing with the same themes.
So
and stuff.
I will say this before you start. This game, being on a time clock like Majora's Mask, is very contentious
yeah.
with people who played this game, like fans, not fans, people who love it or hate it.
Yeah, and it's not real time. So each day is 2 hours, right?
So the game takes place over the course of 72 hours. Game time is about 6 hours real life time.
Right.
And I will say this too. In the original release, there was only one save file.
Right.
So in the re-release, they give you multiple slots, but in the original, let's just say you don't have enough time to get to your next mission, you just fail.
Right.
And I'll talk about this now that we're already kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
The game shares some development team members with that game Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter. And so in Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter, you can restart the entire game with your levels intact. Almost like if the game is too hard or you got yourself into a scenario where you can't beat it, you can restart the whole game, but you restart it at, not level one.
Right.
So Dead Rising actually has a very similar system where you do level up, you do have like stats and like some abilities. And if you've put yourself in a scenario where you can't beat it, it's too hard, you can restart with all your levels. It's kind of an interesting concept. I don't know many games that let you do that. No. I really can only think of those two.
Yeah, well, what I was going to kind of maybe get into this in further detail later. It is sort of like something like Hades, where, you don't get all the way through, but you keep restarting. So there is kind of some precedent for it there. But, I mean, while we're on the clock, so to speak, how do you feel about like the time they give you, and how do you in general, like, do you think it's a good choice to include it?
Yes. So I've debated this a lot with, I'll say this too. I actually don't have many friends who like this game. Like, I'll say it right now. I kind of do. Like, yeah. I like it. And for me, I think the time clock makes the game more immediate. It gives you this sense of urgency that so many games don't have. And you and I discussed this off mic a little. We have so many problems with open world games that are too aimless, they're pointless.
Yeah.
This game is the opposite. I find Dead Rising to not only be very urgent and very, they really press the issue.
Yeah.
Getting to every mission on time is hard.
Yeah.
Like this, you can't dick around at all in this game.
Right.
I am close to arguing that this game could have used 30 minutes of dick around time.
Yeah.
You have no time to like explore at all. You really have to go, go, go.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good idea, but the level of time that they're giving you, just it combined with some other factors, which we'll talk about, I think it makes it just a little more stressful than I would like.
It's very, that honestly is the best word for this game, stressful.
Yeah.
It's one of them.
Because I was really, really committed to not fucking around and getting through it. And,
yeah.
You know, because I knew you had told me it takes it very seriously. You have to really play by its rules.
Yep.
And I still struggled, you know, so. One of the only aspects, the other aspects that I was aware of with this game is how many different objects can be used as weapons. Do you have any particular favorites or least favorites?
Yeah. So I don't know if I want to talk about this now or later, but I think some of my favorites are the ones that are kind of gamey, where like, okay, there's like a medieval weapons store, like an antique shop where you have battle axes and swords,
right,
and stuff,
yeah,
which is, I mean, I don't know why that would ever be in a shopping mall, but
yeah,
it is funny. It's honestly, and we'll talk about this later about flaws of the game, but there are some boss weapons that I feel are too good.
Okay.
That sort of pull me away from like almost the mantra of the game.
Yeah.
I want to touch on this a little.
Mm-hmm.
Where I would say mantra of the gameplay is improvised combat.
Right.
Go to a store, pick up a baseball bat and kill zombies.
Yeah.
Right. Or defeat bosses. Like you can't have the same weapon forever. You got to keep picking up new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There are some weapons that you find that make that system irrelevant,
right,
which I don't like. But I mean, there's cute stuff too. Like I think there's a gym in one of the plazas where you can pick up dumbbells.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That sort of. There's also, yeah, funny stuff like throwing cans of soda at zombies and stuff too.
Yeah, my favorites were the ones that surprised me with their function. Like you think picking up a hockey stick is going to, you're going to, you know, beat people with the hockey stick, but you're actually, they just give you a certain amount of pucks and you just like,
yeah,
like slam them.
Yeah.
At the zombies' heads.
That's really,
it's,
really,
it's
funny.
Really,
you just slap shot pucks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, there's some very cute ones.
Yeah.
There is, I got very ecstatic when I ran into, there's a lawnmower and you can just like mow,
yes,
down zombies.
Did
with
you,
that.
Did you catch the little Hitchcock reference?
No.
Where there's a butcher's knife and if you execute a zombie, it goes dun, 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 dun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It takes it from the movie.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think it's like definitely one of the strengths of the game is that the variety is immense, but I think it's like, it's kind of at odds with itself because you can't really fuck around. So
no.
It's like, and you, but it's tempting you with all these fun, like,
right,
weapons.
Right, right, right. I mean, I'll also say this too. I believe a part of the marketing and the development team said this, they wanted to put as many zombies on screen as possible without there being frame rate slowdowns.
Right.
Like there are thousands of zombies on screen at once. It's actually very impressive.
It is. Yeah. I did make note of that, especially, you know, 2006 or whenever this came out. I don't think I mentioned it. Yeah. Capcom, we didn't mention, is also buying this. But 2006, that's really impressive for that much. I just think that, because I think there's actually, is there more at night?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think there's actually a problem with how the game is designed, in my view, where let's say you're in like one of the mall's broken up, I think, into five or six sections.
Yeah.
Let's say you're just in Paradise Plaza,
right,
and you try to kill every zombie in the plaza. If you go enough feet away, more will just spawn.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
they'll spawn without you leaving the section, without,
right,
you leaving the loading screen. I think that's lame.
I do too, but I immediately knew that that's how,
yeah,
it, like I figured, mm-hmm, out immediately that was, that's how they do it, because they're really like they're trying to preserve that feeling of just being completely overwhelmed. And I think it's very effective at,
yeah,
times, but I think they really should have played with like the pacing of it more, like,
yes,
having some sparse sections and some, because that kind of, it, I think it would help me to feel more engaged over the course of the game if it lightens up a little bit from time to time.
And I think really how the game works is on day one, it's kind of split into 3 days.
Yeah.
How, on day one, it's sparse-ish, and on the other 2 days, it's just nuts. Like,
right.
You're like seriously swimming and wading through zombies. Like,
yeah,
it becomes ridiculous
with what you have to do. I mean, we'll get into this a bit more as we go on, but there are some things that make it easier. But I did think that the crowds were just like a little too dense.
Oh, overall. For sure. Absolutely.
But I don't know. I something else that I wanted to mention was they kind of dangle this in front of you with these fun items that you like, because you don't necessarily know how effective they're going to be. There's some that are jokes,
yep.
You know, like squirt guns and that, yep. And like toys and
teddy
stuff
bears
like that.
And stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like some of them, it's clear that they're not going to do anything, but other ones, it's not so clear. And they, in addition to that, I felt like the majority of the stores I was running into were clothing stores.
Yeah,
and it's just like there's no items you can use in there.
Yeah, I think you're kind of touching on a point I made a few minutes ago, where if you think about what's viable in the game, it's much less than you'd think.
Right,
like you're going after either swords or battle axes or chainsaws or a couple of boss weapons. Also, almost every item in the game infinitely respawns.
Right,
so it defeats itself a little. I think you had said this off mic. One of Dead Rising's problems is that it's sort of at odds with itself a lot, and I think you're right.
I think that's an issue with it, because it's like I think a lot, I would say the vast majority of the ideas of this game are really interesting, but sometimes it's like they just didn't know what would work with it. It's
I mean,
each other, you
do
know?
Do you want to talk about what, let's get away from like the main quest for a second.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the only side quests and like the AI is really bad, or do you want to touch on that?
Yeah. Or are you talking about like the NPCs?
Yeah. Like I think another problem with this game is just besides doing the main story, the only thing you do is rescue survivors or kill side bosses that are optional, which just allows you to rescue other survivors.
Yeah, because this all feeds into the experience system, and these are just like the ways that you
can like to get the most experience. You have to bring survivors back to sort of the security room, which is the safe spot.
Yeah,
but like getting survivors to follow you or to get them back to the security room is so annoying.
Yeah,
like I feel like it can't be understated how aggravating it is and how
because
broken it is.
I remember I started the game and I was like, Greg, am I doing something wrong? And you, because I took a video because they weren't following me, and you're like, no, your game is bugged. You need to reload a save.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh my God.
And I think like another problem, obviously, is that the game, Dead Rising, is really hard.
Yeah.
So like the game has to work or you're going to get really frustrated.
Yeah.
And I'll be funny for a second. Like, do you know how I get through groups of zombies? I continuously jump.
Right.
Because they can't grab you when you jump, or I put a survivor on my shoulders because the zombies also can't bite you when you're carrying someone.
Oh, really?
So what I do is I purposely save survivors where I can either hold them by the hand or carry them.
Yeah.
So I don't have to get anyone to follow me. Mm-hmm. Like, because the game's AI is horrifically bad.
It's also really confusing because the main passageway back to the security room is blocked off at first.
Yes.
And it only opens up on the second day.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm trying to learn how to get the survivors back there, and it's like, where the fuck do I go?
yeah. And I'll say this too. There, I said this to you like in a off mic. I said there's one specific side quest that you have to do, or the game is even more annoying.
Yeah. And I didn't do it.
And you didn't do it. There's one side quest where after you do it, it gives you a shortcut from the other end of the mall back close to the safe space,
right.
Back to the security room. It brings you all the way there in one loading screen.
That's
and you
insane.
Can take survivors through it. So if you don't get it, the game is fucking aggravating. Like, I can't, it's like indescribable
but
how irritating it is.
The thing is, I think I mentioned this to you, was that the game doesn't really tell you, and this is, you know, kind of a good thing, I guess. It doesn't really tell you what to prioritize, but when it's that vital, it's really should be like, I don't know.
Well, I'll say this too. There's another flaw. Did you know when you level up, the bonus you get from leveling up is random? You don't get the same stat increase every time.
Oh, really? Okay, so I was gonna mention that what you use experience for is health, inventory slots, attack power, throwing distance, and running speed, which I didn't actually know. And you can also get like special abilities.
Combat abilities, hand to hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think also like the hopping on zombies' heads. Yeah, you is have one
like
of them,
you essentially get like more mobility, like
football tackle, that kind of thing. Did you use these much, or did you just kind of derp your way through?
Yeah, so some of them are very useful.
Yeah,
but let me say this though, I'm gonna be saying this a lot, where the game is frustrating, the game is hard, and the game also is at odds with itself because of this.
Yeah,
so. Dead Rising, you have a max level of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said before, if the game's too hard, you can restart the whole game with your levels intact.
Right.
However, when you level up, example, when you get to level 2, what you get for becoming level 2 is not the same every time.
Right.
So you can't really plan out a playthrough. Mm-hmm. It's possible that you're not going to get max attack power until level 50.
Right.
That's possible because it's random.
Yeah.
It's possible you might get like 20 combat moves in a row and not get any stat increases. Mm-hmm. So the game, like depending, not only is the game difficult, it can be even harder if you kind of get screwed by the randomizer.
Yeah.
So it's not fair and I don't really like it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you
and
there.
I'm sorry, you had asked me the moves, like the combat moves.
Yeah.
Some of them are very helpful, but just the controls are unreliable.
Yeah.
Like walking, there's essentially a zombie crowd walk where you like crowd surf on top of zombies so you don't have to walk through them, but it's really hard to use and it doesn't really work, but it's vital.
It doesn't really do a great job of telling you how to do any of this.
No, it doesn't.
Like, you can look it up in the menu and it's kind of clear, but
there are some useful moves. Like, did you get knee drop?
No.
So knee drop is interesting because if you knee drop from any height, you don't take any damage. And you also, it's kind of funny. You decapitate zombies by just essentially doing a wrestling knee drop into their necks.
Yeah,
it's really weird. There's some funny stuff like disembowel. You pull the intestines out of zombies.
That's cool.
But it's just funny.
Yeah, I didn't get too many, but it seems like, you know, your abilities to make use of those can you know, I don't know.
It essentially like allows you to get through crowds of zombies barehanded.
Right.
But it's not very reliable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'll say one thing.
Yeah.
There is one thing at the end of the game where it's helpful, but we'll get to that at the end.
Okay. I did want to ask you something we kind of glazed over here, is that your character, Frank West, is a photojournalist.
I was actually about to bring that up next.
There is a big photography element to this game, and I wanted to ask you how you feel about it.
Sure. So I think what's kind of funny about this game is we kind of take photo mode for granted in modern games. Right?
Yeah.
We want to be able to pause the game and take screenshots and set up, you know.
Quite a few of them have them now.
Yeah. And also, I believe on PS5 and Xbox Series X controllers, there's a screenshot and video share function.
Yep.
So what's cool about Dead Rising is there's a little bit of like, I don't know what the right word is, sort of diegetic gameplay, mm-hmm. a little bit, right? Where not only can you take photos like it's photo mode, but your character is a photographer, and depending on what kind of photo you take, it gives you experience points.
Yeah.
It's really like weird. So you get different EXP for like, if you take a photo of a boss or a photo of I don't know, like a zombie doing a move or a boss doing a combat move, you get a big bonus.
Yeah.
There's also weird bonuses for like taking sexy photos of zombies.
Yeah,
did you see this shit?
I'm not into that.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
It's but the whole thing was a little contentious for me because it's another thing where, you know, even if you haven't really taken many photos in real life, you know how involved it can be to get a photo exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge aspect of how much experience you get. You only have a certain amount of slots for your photos. I think 30.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like when you have all this other shit going on with trying to get survivors back to the safe room and trying to hit your quests and getting through a crowd of zombies, it's like, I'm not going to dick around and take photos. Are you kidding me?
You know what's so funny? Like in our discussion, we almost did that where we forgot that photo mode was in the game,
right,
because the game throws so much at you.
I forgot a lot, yeah.
Where I'll say this, to the game's credit, you can only take 30 photos, but there's infinite camera film right next to the save room.
Right.
So like, fine.
Yeah.
But the game is so demanding of you. And also, they don't really incorporate you being a photojournalist into the game. It's almost like a silly side thing you can do to get experience.
Yeah, I guess like the ultimate goal is to figure out what's going on with how this zombie outbreak started.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the more evidence that he has, the better or whatever.
But I don't believe it is ever required of you to take a photo.
Okay.
I don't believe it. Isn't that weird? I think I just realized that 17 years later.
Yeah. It's because it prompts you in the beginning, you know, when you're flying around, like to take photos of the carnage, the town is in flames and stuff. But I don't know if it's required. Anyway, beyond what we've already discussed, would you make any other changes to the moment-to-moment gameplay?
Wow. I mean, I think what's really tricky is I can't just say I would make the AI better because it's so obvious. That's a really good question. Dead Rising, it's so tough. I think Dead Rising has, like you said, it has a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
Any moments that hung you up, frustrated you, that you were like, the game should just not play like this?
I almost feel like there shouldn't be gunplay in this game.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, we should mention, you can find handguns, shotguns, assault rifles, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it kind of, the gameplay just really doesn't function well as a shooter.
Right.
You're essentially using the throwing buttons to instead change to shooting controls.
That's another thing that I didn't like was using your inventory where consumable items are the same button as weapons.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm sure that's the same for everybody, but for me, that's the default.
Like, we should say this too. I think the healing system is at least kind of interesting, where you just pick up random food at the mall, but some food is more nutritious for you than others and heals you by more.
Yeah, I like that.
But what would I change? That's tricky because this game, I feel like this game is already juggling too much. And I feel like if I take one Jenga brick out of it, it's all going to fucking collapse.
I just played Jenga at an office party.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know what you mean. No, I feel the same. I think in general, it's just very clear this is an early Xbox 360 game. You know, I'm sure this would make a great like remake remaster situation. Just kind of.
I'm surprised they haven't done it.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, I'll offer you up one change. I think it's very gamey, and this is very anti-Greg to say this. I think there should have been one mission where you have to, quote-unquote, you have to explore the mall.
Yeah.
Because you get no other opportunity to understand where anything is.
It just throws you right in the deep end.
And which in some ways is kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But in some ways I'm like, Jesus Christ, you couldn't have given me 30 minutes to breeze through this.
I think because also for, especially at the time, I think a lot of these concepts, gameplay concepts, are pretty unique. Like the time thing, I only know of Majora's Mask and the Breath of Fire game the same way.
So Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter is not timed.
Okay.
But there's this interesting mechanic where there's a dragon essentially coming out of your chest. And if you use a certain gameplay mechanic two times, you die permanently.
Okay.
And you have to restart the whole game. It's kind of weird.
Interesting.
But like, in terms of like time, I only know Majora's Mask in this.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting. It's just a matter of, oh, fuck. It just like all these different pieces. It's like all these jagged edges and poking into.
Now,
like,
you imagine us talking about this. Can you imagine being in a conference room and making this? Like, trying to balance all these pieces?
No.
I don't know, man. Like, I honestly don't have a solution for like half of your questions, like on this, because
I don't either. I think it's a lot of it is like breaking this into separate games, you know, like it's just a lot.
Do you do the thing where when you're in a boss battle, time stops, like time is not always running? Do you do that kind of thing?
I think what I was leading towards too was how I think it is incredibly unique, and I think the game should have done a better job teaching you those unique systems. Like, you know, I know how to swing a weapon. I know how to move my character, look around, whatever. But stuff like, you know, this is your time limit. You know, this is how you rescue a survivor and bring him back to the safe room. All that kind of stuff.
I can give you a gameplay improvement. You can't have the only side quest be lead people back to a room.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Like, that's the gameplay loop falls apart pretty quick.
It's pretty annoying.
How fucking annoying is it that you get calls to your radio while you're getting swarmed by zombies, and if you don't complete the call, you have to do it again?
Dude, you're reading my notes way ahead of me. So this is an aspect of gameplay that kind of bleeds into aesthetics, I guess.
Sure.
Where I was so relieved that my gripes with this game were shared by critics of the time, and this was one of them. And it became apparently like memed in like webcomics and stuff.
I didn't know that.
It was just because this guy who, I think he's the janitor, he works in the security office, and he will call you on this transceiver device, and he'll tell you where the survivors are. And he will do this no matter what you're doing, and he'll keep calling you over and over, and it's this really loud, abrasive ringing sound. And if you pick up, you can't swing weapons. You can't. I think you run slower, right?
You essentially can't do anything other than put a cell phone to your ear,
right? And if you hang up, he'll call you back, and he'll say, "Don't hang up on me. That's rude." And I'm just like, dude, it builds contempt for the character. He's fucking annoying.
It's so annoying. They couldn't have found a better way to do this.
Like put it up on like a text message or something.
You know what? How about the darkness beeper? Right?
Yeah.
It reads across the screen.
There you go.
Yep.
I got him at this location and you can find him there, whatever.
Oh my God. The Silent Hill Shattered Memory cell phone. Just send a text to your phone.
Yeah.
Right? Come on.
Anything other than that. Disrupt the gameplay further,
yeah.
You know?
And I'm going to reiterate, the game is hard enough. Like, it's already hard.
You're constantly getting interrupted all the way through to the mission that I ended my playthrough on.
Yep.
And I don't know. I just don't know what they were thinking with this. It's like, it feels like a placeholder idea that just somehow made it in.
Do you know what I think may have been cool? What if you could look at the security monitor yourself and check through CC footage and find them yourself?
Yeah,
that'd be interesting,
great.
Too.
Remake idea. I was really not a fan of the soundtrack, especially that song that plays when those guys are driving around the park.
Well, let me say this before I bridge that subject. Should we talk about the bosses next? Are we getting into it?
Do they connect to the soundtrack? Do you have a relevant?
Well, I was going to say, like, you're bringing up one of them, which is the convicts.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can
I ask you a question about them? Number one, this is really funny. How do I put this? I'm not telling you I like that song. It's what is it called? It's Gone Guru by Life Seeker. It's a real band.
It's like,
what's
very
the
new metal.
Do you know how I always, whenever I joke with Nick, I walk into a room and I go, bonop, bonop, ow, ow, bonop, bonop.
Like, that's how it starts.
Honestly, can I make another rant?
Yeah.
If you defeat the convicts, they just come back the next day.
Yeah. What the fuck?
It's so stupid.
So,
and they even do that in the re-release.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's not even just in the original. They do it in the re-release. That means it was intentional.
Oh yeah, because I play the re-release.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to just finish up just talking about the overall experience.
Oh, sure, okay.
Before we get into bosses, but I appreciate how varied the mall looks. Like, there's not a lot of confusing one area for another. It's like, okay, there's one unfinished part, and like there's one that has a movie theater. There's one that has like an amusement park.
Yeah, to the game's credit, like the food court is the food court. Like Wonderland Plaza has the roller coaster. Like Paradise is more general. The movie theater's there.
I think if it was, like you said, if they gave you some time where there weren't that many zombies and you got to explore them all, you would think it's pretty cool.
What if, then again, though, I feel like I'm taking out a Jenga piece, because if I suggested, what if the first part of the game is untimed? Then it would defeat the whole purpose of, you flew in and it's very immediate.
Or, well, yeah, I don't know. You could have some kind of, like, it just gives you a little bit more time. I don't know.
It's tricky.
But I was going to say, like, that one of my favorite moments in this entire game is when you go to the movie theater and there's this, like, this very reminiscent of this nightmare I had. Very specific. This movie theater with these guys who are, they're like cultists.
In yellow raincoats.
In yellow raincoats, and they're all just standing there.
Praying.
And they're not saying anything. And you just walk into the movie theater and they're like this. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, those moments are so awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
this game does have some of those.
Yeah. And I took a photo of them and it gave me points for drama.
Yeah.
Drama explanation.
Drama.
Holy smokes. But no, I mean, I think, you know, it looks fine for the time. Would you say the HUD could use some improvement?
I would. That's
menus.
Dude, this game is, I don't know what else to say about this game besides, like, there's a lot of Jenga pulling going on. They stuff a lot of different gameplay into this, and it's tricky. I feel like if I make one critique, the whole thing is a disaster.
It's gonna collapse.
And because, keep in mind too, they're trying to put thousands of moving objects on screen with no frame rate dip.
That too.
That could be why your life meter is just yellow blocks.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else happening.
It's, yeah, I'm fine with that, just in terms of like how navigable the menus are.
Yeah, I'll say this, like setting your like arrow to a mission is way too hard.
Yeah.
Like you have to, it's so
weird.
Take
out your watch.
You have to look at your watch and then like use the D-pad to scroll through missions while zombies can still bite you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my fucking God. This game's driving me crazy.
Something that I would celebrate in Dark Souls 1, for some reason in this game, it just bothers, because it's timed, because it's like,
I think that's why.
It's throwing a lot of shit at you.
There's a, God, I don't know. Maybe the, I don't know. Like I do still admit to liking this game, but there's just, there's a lot of, man, I don't know. I don't know what I would change. I know I don't really like it, but I can't come up with a suggestion because there's too much happening.
That's true. But yeah, let's maybe get into the side content.
Yeah.
Exploring the mall. Any memorable survivors, like non-boss encounters
that you have? Can I bridge that gap for a second?
Yeah, of course.
There's one boss that can become a survivor, which is very interesting.
I do think that, well, technically too, but
that's true.
That's a story boss. But yeah, this I encountered most of the bosses except for this one. And he's
like the pyromaniac.
Yeah. He's like a rebellious teen, like throwing
Molotov cocktails
and stuff.
It's interesting when you defeat, it's not a very interesting boss. Well, we should say the bosses are called psychopaths.
Yes.
And they're just these, I don't know how many there are, 10 or 12. There aren't that many.
I have for side missions, I think 9.
Yeah. So there are 10 or 12, nine side missions. They're essentially, they're not zombies. They're regular people who have essentially lost their minds during this apocalypse and are just either murdering innocent people or are just doing really weird stuff in the mall.
It's like BioShock stuff.
Yeah.
Before BioShock.
Yeah. This kid is not one of the more interesting ones, but once you defeat him, he sets himself on fire, but there's a fire extinguisher.
Oh, okay.
And you actually have an option. You can either use the fire extinguisher on him and bring him back to the save room, or you can take a photo of him burning alive.
Oh my God, dude. That's, I don't know.
It's up to you if you think that's tasteful. I'll leave that to the audience.
All right. Well, I did want to just go through them, like the main side bosses.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, some of them are great.
So the roller coaster guy. Can you talk about him?
Yeah, that's my favorite. What is his first name? I call him the clown. I don't remember exactly.
He's a clown.
I don't remember his first name. This is really cool. So you get a call from Otis that the roller coaster is running really fast.
Otis is the janitor. Stop bugging you.
Yeah. And so you go to Wonderland Plaza and the roller coaster is just spinning out of control. And when you try to touch the controls, literally like a Stephen King clown comes up behind you with two chainsaws and is just juggling them. And it's kind of a funny boss where what you have to do is the best way to defeat him is when he blows a balloon at you, you have to shoot it.
Right.
And then he sets himself on fire because it's like gasoline filled and he's trying to like put himself out.
Fuck.
It's really interesting.
That's cool.
But what's thing about this boss though, is once you defeat him, you actually save the survivor named Greg, right?
Okay.
So you save me.
Yeah.
And then Greg shows you the shortcut to get you through the mall easier.
Wow.
And however, this is also a game breaking boss. You get the dual chainsaw, well, they're called mini chainsaws. You get as many of them as you want and they infinitely respawn and they're the best weapon in the game because you don't have to rev them.
Oh, geez.
So anyway, the clown is cool. It's like, oh, it's like everyone's worst fear.
Yeah.
Right. And what I think what's cool about the boss is it's really early. Mm-hmm. And so you're very underarmed, like an undermanned when you do it. And he will chase you through the entirety of Wonderland. Like it's the whole section.
That's
so it's
cool.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Any you liked in particular? I could go through most of them.
Because I blew it because I didn't realize that was a really
important,
vital quest. One before we get too far off it with the survivors, something else that's interesting about this game is that it's one of those games that doesn't have like recorded dialogue for every line, and you just kind of hear like
sparse canned lines, but the written dialogue is different.
Yeah. And when you're walking past NPCs, there was one that was like really reflective of my inner state at the moment. There's this guy who sounded like Homer Simpson, and he goes, "What are we doing here?"
Yeah, he's like, one of the first ones.
I don't know, man. I really don't know what I'm doing.
No,
but. I encountered most of the other bosses. I did not beat many of them.
Yep.
I would like to mention number one. You gave me the advice. You need to go get some guns. Go to the gun store, and there is a boss in the gun store.
I don't know if I told you to get guns.
You did.
I did?
You did.
Really?
You're like, oh, it's up in that corner of the mall.
I probably forgot that if you go to the gun store on day one or two, there is a boss there. He just leaves.
Him. Yeah, I just couldn't. He's beat tricky. Him. He just has a shotgun or something.
Yeah, it's
just
really tricky. Away.
I also encountered like the Vietnam War veteran.
Yeah.
Did you? I didn't beat this boss. Did
yeah,
you beat
I've beaten
boss?
All of them okay. in one run.
Yeah, he's just kind of like...
He's just kind of jumping out of like manholes.
It's like the fear in Metal Gear.
Yeah,
like
this, essentially.
Like climbing up walls.
Did you
and stuff?
Beat the theater guy?
No, I didn't
the beat cult the leader.
Yeah, because yeah. I, you know, obviously I was like, oh, this shit rocks. I want to explore the theater. So I eventually found him, but
yep.
I could not beat him. I think he's surrounded by a lot of his minions or whatever. It,
also, when you beat him, they all storm the room too, so
oh
it's
my
tricky.
God, dude.
I you know what one it's in the main story, but we'll talk about it when it happens. But my favorite guy is probably the grocery guy, but we'll talk about that.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great.
The also with the convicts, because they're not really a boss,
they,
but they're you get points for them like they're
yeah,
a boss.
You do.
The first time I encounter them, I had like three different handguns, right?
Yeah.
And they got stuck because the AI is like very touch and go.
It's very bad.
When they are driving around this car, it's like a technical, like with a turret on the back.
Yep.
In this park in the middle of the mall, they got stuck. And I went up to them and I just emptied my gun into one of their heads.
Yep.
And it did nothing.
Yep.
They didn't die.
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, fuck this. So I came back later with a sword. And I killed them all that way. And like you said, they respawned the next day. And I'm
yeah.
just like, how seriously am I supposed to take
this? I know.
This?
I feel like that's a big flaw in the game.
It's stupid. I beat the sniper family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was I enjoyed that one, actually.
Yeah, that's
that
cool.
It was like this guy and his two sons, I think.
Yep.
And you just have to have this, like, I think I beat those guys with a hockey stick.
Yeah.
It's very, very fun, very silly. And the last one, I think, was the cop.
That's a weird one, right?
She's like this really like tall, burly female cop who is like has these women under like handcuffs,
yeah,
like lock and key.
Yeah, it's really strange.
In a jewelry store, and I defeated her. And one other one that I actually didn't realize I thought was interesting is you get a quest. I couldn't tell like what the quests were, if they were going to be bosses or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of this, one of them is actually, he's another photographer.
Yes.
And I didn't realize he turns into a boss.
Yes, he does.
When you fulfill his quest. So I didn't get that far with him, but I thought that was interesting because he seemed like a normal
kind of
NGC.
Yep.
But that's all I had on this, the side stuff. Did you
Should we get into the story? Let's get into the story, because you know what? I'm not saying they do a great job with this story, but I'll say this. It's more interesting than you think it would be.
From
the advertising of the game, at least.
I had a completely different picture in my head of what this game was. A lot more Americanized. But like I said, you know, it starts out with you being dropped off on the rooftop by a helicopter pilot. He says he's going to come back in 3 days to pick up Frank. And so you're exploring the mall a little bit and the zombies break in like almost immediately, right?
Yep. This first mission is very stressful too.
It's all stressful.
Like, I should mention, you have four blocks of health. If a zombie bites you, that's one
right.
out of four. And so essentially the first setup here is you have to get to the security room in a swarm of zombies and it's very difficult.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. You hole up in the security room. That's kind of your hub. They seal the door behind you. And you, I think this is where you run into, Brad.
Yep.
And, his partner, I forget her name.
Yeah.
Jesse or something.
Brad and Jesse.
And you have to, pretty soon after there's this gunfight with him and,
Carlito.
He's sort of, is he like the de facto villain?
Carlito is in theory the villain.
For the most part. You keep running into this guy over the course of the game, but you bond with Brad over helping him here. You have to get, some medicine.
Yep.
For his injuries.
And Brad and Jesse are what, DHS agents or something
like
that?
Yeah, Department of Homeland Security. And they obviously they're very coy about what they're actually up to.
Yeah.
You help them out, get this like scientist back to the
Yeah, Dr.
Room.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Essentially the early setup to the game is that you're trying to cover the event, but you run into Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And then Homeland Security is hunting this terrorist, according to them, named Carlito,
mm-hmm.
who you have a couple of gun battles with. And then you also have to go retrieve someone named Dr. Barnaby, who has some involvement in this story as well.
Right.
That's kind of the early setup.
Yeah. Yeah, but you do wind up having to go get medicine for yep. Brad, and I think that's what leads you to the supermarket.
Yeah.
So this is the pretty much the first one of these psychopaths, and he's definitely, I think he might be the best one.
I think the grocery store guy's the best, right?
Because you walk in and it's a very long cutscene of your character Frank just walking around the aisles, and it doesn't seem to be anyone around. He's like, "Hello," and he is facing the camera, and behind him comes this like apparatus that like I don't. It's a man pushing a cart, a grocery store cart with a woman in it. And there's these big like blades all yep. over it, and it just happens. And he has this crazed expression on his face, and I'm just like, "What?"
And
the
he's like,
fuck
"Get out of my store!"
Because I didn't yeah. know that this was a part of the game at all.
Oh, like, the
I
bosses?
Thought it, I thought it was just
was
zombies.
This the first one you encountered?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, what is going on?
Probably because you missed the clown. That's probably
yeah,
why.
Exactly. It was really high. Do you want to talk about this guy at all?
There's also some cool setup to this too, where the first part of the cinematic is this like can of something kind of rolls near your feet. You turn around, there's nothing there.
Yeah,
you
it's
turn
very around, suspenseful.
And you turn around again, it's just this. He just looks like a grocery store clerk
right.
with this shopping cart with a bunch of swords on it.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
And he, you know, you have a boss fight with him where he tries to run you over with it. Right?
Yeah,
I thought this one was pretty manageable.
And so the woman in the cart, is Carlito's sister.
Yes, Isabella.
Is Isabella.
And she kind of just runs away from you at first. And this is one of the most frustrating parts of the game for me, I have to say, where you have a boss fight with her on a motorcycle.
Oh, this part sucks.
I was really struggling with it. I tried it a million times, and I was like looking up like tips online. Like, what am I supposed to do with this boss? And like the prevailing things were like how to like cheat the boss,
how to get her stuck,
you know, like where you stand where she's just not gonna know what to do and you can just unload your gun at her.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how is this the legit strategy for this
I
boss?
Think too many of the boss strategies in this game are derp it or break it.
Yeah,
that's a lot of them.
It sucks.
Yep, it's bad.
So you basically you defeat her, and then you kind of recruit her to your side, I guess, because she starts hanging out in the security room and stuff.
Yeah, essentially, like, she's at first kind of working with Carlito with her brother, and then she kind of figures, I don't know how it takes her this long, but she figures, he's doing something bad. I should probably side with essentially the feds and you
yeah,
and not
and
him.
She, well, so she promises to broker a meeting between the two parties, and Carlito just shoots her. She
yeah.
walks in with a gunshot wound. And I think around this time, they reveal that they're from this Central American town, Santa Cabeza.
Yep, yep.
And so she was a researcher who worked there. It was an American research facility. They were studying this parasite, I guess. Very, very similar to their other property.
Yep.
Very Las Plagas.
Yep, yep. Very similar.
And this inadvertently unleashed a zombie outbreak, I guess.
Yep.
And so as revenge, Carlito is doing all this stuff where he's sabotaging the Homeland Security agents, and he wants to blow up the mall.
Yeah, he wants to cause zombie outbreaks because essentially the U.S. did it to his town.
Right. So he's thinking that like it will spread it into the atmosphere or
yeah.
something.
And so and Dr. Barnaby is one of the researchers from Santa Cabeza who fucked it up.
Yeah.
That's
right.
kind of
he's the boss.
That's
I
the
believe.
Conceit there, right?
Yeah. And it's like, I thought this was interesting too. You can actually collect like the parasite and use it as a weapon, like the wasp
the queen bee.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is actually one of the more interesting parts of the story that they start revealing to you.
Yeah.
Where to make medicine to stop zombies, you need to get a bee that grows inside of zombies. So in theory, you need more zombies to make medicine to stop people from turning into zombies.
Right.
They're trying to do some like big pharma needs to keep people sick to keep big pharma going.
Right.
That's kind of what they're leaning into here. Yeah.
It's,
that's pretty much it.
I think it holds up under scrutiny as pulpy as it is. You
yeah.
know, it's ridiculous.
Pulpy is a good word.
It explains everyone's character motivations at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this sequence here is where the strength of men failed, I would like to say, because there is a sequence where you have to go down into the tunnels under the mall to collect bombs that Carlito has placed. And, oh boy, I tried... I don't know how many times, but I just did not have enough time. I did, like, with the saves that I had to get all these bombs in time, and I got the bad ending where Carlito destroys the world.
Yeah, essentially. So this is probably the hardest mission in the game.
Yeah.
It's also where, like, you know, all of the stuff about how frustrating this game is kind of all comes to a head.
Yes.
You have to drive a vehicle, and there are hundreds of thousands of zombies, and, like,
and
you're timed.
And if you drive a vehicle through the zombies, which you have to,
it
gradually breaks the vehicle.
Yeah. It's so this is the mission where most players restart the whole game.
Right.
Which is so stupid. Like, I don't know. You can't design a game where, hey, this mission's hard, but most of you are just going to do the whole game over again just to get back here.
Well, here's what my problem with it, and this is maybe a better served for a conclusion, but in this moment, I'd like to mention that if you have a game like Hades that is super fast-paced, you can kill the player as many times as you want, because there's, you know, over the you gradually unlock shortcuts and stuff, your guy gets better and better, but you're not out of the action that long. This game is pretty sizable, and asking people to restart it for a maybe better shot next time is kind of a tall ask, I think.
Yes, you know? I agree.
So I really struggled with this. I couldn't do it, and I did not restart, but you have a much firmer understanding of the end game than I do. So I have a couple questions. I've done a little bit of research about, you know, I essentially got the Sekiro Shura ending here.
Yeah.
I missed a good chunk of the game.
So, like, for the audience's perspective here, like, I finished this game as a kid, and I also just did another run where I finished the whole game, including the best ending on one run.
Right.
So I did do it.
Right. So I guess what happens here is if you collect all the bombs successfully, Carlito is mortally wounded, by Brad, who, is then, I guess infected by zombies or attacked by zombies and
so
killed by Frank.
How this, like, these last couple of missions play out here is that, so you stop the bombs, Carlito and Brad get into, like, a little bit of a gun battle, and they kind of shoot each other up, but Carlito kicks Brad into the maintenance tunnels, and so he is bitten up by zombies and dies. You can actually find zombie Brad.
Okay.
And what happens is Carlito, you see him on camera getting dragged away by a butcher. Mm-hmm. Did you watch this?
Yeah, I did.
This was the hardest thing for me in my first run, where you have 3 hours to get back into the maintenance tunnel, get to the butchery, and Carlito, the boss battle's timed because he's being slowly put into a meat grinder and turned into sausages.
Yeah.
And you have to defeat this butcher psychopath and actually save Carlito's life to get the truth out of him, which is interesting.
Do you know how to get the key that opens the maintenance tunnels?
Yeah, there's it's in the middle of it. It's actually where Zombie Brad is.
Okay.
It's right in the warehouse.
Because I was like, that would really help to just have access to that.
Yep.
But there's just a truck down in the tunnels, and there's really no other vehicles.
And there is some stuff in this. I don't know if you want me to take it out of your mouth or you're going to go through it step by step.
I just that, like, your purpose, I guess, is to get this locket from Carlito.
Yeah.
Before the butcher kills him.
Yeah. So really what happened, there's some stuff that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
Where, like, Dr. Barnaby is infected and turns into a zombie, but you never see him get bitten. Jesse gets infected.
He bites her, I believe, or scratches her.
Yeah. But, like, you don't really see it.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, do you want to get into the last, like, couple of hours where the military shows up? Do you have that?
Yes.
You have that prepared here?
With this locket, it's something to do with I guess the reason why nobody can raise the town is that there's, like, some military communication jamming going on.
Yep.
And she is able to deduce, like, the password from the locket. Is it like a special word or something?
Pachamama. Yep.
I don't know, but
that's what the word is.
Yeah, well, to each their own.
Yeah.
I got just the Google suggested password for mine.
Oh, that's
a
funny.
Of numbers and letters.
Yeah.
But I guess so that kind of kicks off, you know, the military shows up and is going to do, like, a purge operation, like a cleanup or whatever. I guess all your survivors get picked up.
I can tell you what happens. There's a note about that explains this.
Okay.
All the survivors you saved, Otis steals a helicopter and flies them away.
Oh my!
And it happens off screen. Yep.
Oh my god! But as I understand it, the chopper pilot from the beginning, Ed, he comes back to pick you up, and it crashes into a clock tower.
Yeah, what happens is you have to do it though. You have to, essentially the military comes to do a cleanup operation.
Yeah.
You and Isabella are hiding out in Carlito's hideout, but you have to make sure you go back to the helipad because that's your only way to get out of here.
Right.
You go to the helipad when the 72 hours end and your helicopter pilot sees you on binoculars and actually comes to pick you up.
Right.
But he gets bitten by a zombie that's in his back seat of his helicopter and then he crashes.
Shit.
So
a couple aliens references in this game.
Kind of cue the end game here.
But were you like excited or frustrated when you found out there was more?
That's hard to say. I think it's okay. I would have maybe played this a little differently. Mm-hmm. Not played as in me with a controller. I maybe would have directed this a little differently.
Yeah.
I perhaps feel like it would have been a little smarter for your helicopter pilot to arrive to pick up Jesse and Brad and the survivors, but you and Isabella choose to stay to actually uncover it rather than, oh no, there's a zombie in his helicopter. How? He's by himself.
Right.
How did that happen? You phoned it in. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Surprise.
Oh, why are Jesse and Brad both die? The Jesse one doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's fine. And of course, if you get the best ending, the helicopter pilot crashes. Come on.
Right.
Like, all right.
It's, I don't know. Because when I think about the end game in Majora's Mask, I get really excited. Because it's like,
the end of this game actually gets worse than the rest.
Well, I'll say, because I contemplated restarting the game when I couldn't get a better ending.
Don't.
And you said, I quote, "It is not going to change your opinion of the game the more that you see of it."
Yep.
And I took that at face value. I was like, you know what? I'm going to save my mental health here. I'm going to take his advice. But you get kind of into overtime hours here. How much is there after you?
So there's one more day. There's a fourth day.
Okay.
So this is interesting. I want to make sure our audience knows this. In the original game, for you to get the real ending, you have to solve all the cases. And you have to get to the helipad when 72 hours is over. Mm-hmm. Then it triggers the fourth day of the pilot crashing.
Right.
In the re-release, they handle it differently. Where in the re-release, when you solve all the cases and get to the helipad on time, it unlocks overtime mode. Which means, hey, congratulations, you beat the game. But this is the real ending. It's a separate mode. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the original game, if you want to beat the real ending, you have to do the 4 days continuously. So like if you're in a bad spot, if you're not high enough level, to do the fourth day, you have to do it all over again.
Yeah.
So it's actually handled better in the re-release. It's called overtime mode, the fourth day.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth day is the ending and it's really stupid.
Okay.
But I'm ready to talk about it if you are.
Yeah, so I guess Frank is infected by the zombie parasite. Is that
it? Also, you know what? This is where the game loses me a little, but I also get it. This game does. I don't know what the right word for this is. Is it ludonarrative dissonance? Our friend Nick showed me that word. Ready? Let's say you play Dead Rising all the way through and a zombie never bites you, you still get infected in the story.
Yeah.
And also, it makes sense that you'd be infected because you get bitten up throughout the whole game.
Right.
But they don't mention that at all. It's just phoned in.
And it's, adding on that, I would say, I was going to bring it up that, you know, having to restart the game is also, like, if you can't play a game beginning to end the first try, and it's not some kind of like tower game or whatever the
and
fuck
it's
you
not, a,
call
it's
Hades.
Not. I mean, mind, this is not a multiple dimension timeline game. It's just that the game is purposely too hard.
Right. There's no like in canon explanation for it. Right.
No. Yeah.
So I don't get why they did it.
No. And also, there's a mission to make the essentially. It's not even a cure to give you medicine to stave off infection. You have to collect 10 bees. And you don't have enough inventory space to carry them all. So you have to go get bees, give them to Isabella, go back into the mall, get more bees. It's so stupid. Like the gameplay really, really crumbles.
Yeah, that's it's concerning because it just, I feel like I give other games a little bit more rope when it comes to this kind of thing where how well they planned out that the gameplay would hold up over time. And it's really like, even from the start, I was like tested.
Yeah,
this,
for sure.
You know? And then like you talk about there's a whole extra inning and you have to go do the stupid B quest.
And also there's one interesting part about the fourth day. When you get to the end of it and the military wipes out every zombie, you walk around and it's quiet. There's no zombies left.
That's cool.
It is cool to see it, but it's just really stupid. But keep going.
I don't know, man. Yeah, it's so do you have like a preferred ending? Because there are multiple depending on.
Would you like me to talk about how it actually ends if you get the real ending? It's really fucking stupid.
Go ahead.
So here's what happens. When you essentially take a zombie pill to stave off infection, you notice where the helicopter crashes, there's a tunnel out of the mall, which is really stupid. So you essentially Isabella and you put on this like zombie sunscreen so the zombies like don't like touch you. It's really weird. Blah, blah, blah. You go into a tunnel. You get out of the mall. The military's guarding the tunnel, obviously, because, you know, that's how the plot works.
Right.
And did you happen to look at gameplay of the tank battle? Did you see this?
A little bit, yeah.
So it's really stupid. You get into it like a... You man this mounted gun, and you have to get into a tank battle with the commander of the military, and you defeat his tank. And then the last battle is a Metal Gear Solid 4 fist fight, where you have to get into a punching battle with the commander of the military.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though, but if you don't have all the combat moves because they're randomized, you can't do it. Because keep in mind, the fist fighting combat is completely broken. And if you don't have maximum attack power, you can't do it.
I'm glad I didn't push it.
Don't do it. Do you know what the ideal strategy is to beat this?
What?
The tank has essentially a wheel and it has a top part. You get him to jump on the wheel. You kick him. He jumps back over and over and over. And you do it 100 so times and you win. If you don't have maximum attack power and the best karate moves, essentially, you can't win. And I can't believe this is how the game ends. But and also it does this stupid thing where after you defeat the military commander, Frank kind of is just on top of the tank and just sort of like overwrought because there's no way out. Mm-hmm. But the game says they escaped, but it doesn't show you how. Mm-hmm. And that's how it ends. Isabella and Frank escape, but they don't tell you how.
See, you know what's interesting is I told you that my perception of this game before I played it was very different. But one thing that is true is that it feels kind of like the zombie version of Saints Row to me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Because
you know, all the silly like weapons and stuff. And then you have this absurd ending that is impossible to take seriously with a tank battle and a fist fight.
You asked me what my preferred ending is. My preferred ending is you purposely fail the game right before Brad and Jesse die and you take the helicopter and leave.
All right.
Because that's an option where like you can purposely fail the main mission before either of them get infected and die, and you just wait out the clock and just leave.
It's just like the darkness, like the bad, the quote unquote bad ending is the one you really want.
Is really what you're going for here.
I don't know. So do you want to get into final thoughts and grades for this guy?
Dude, this discussion hasn't been that long, but I'm like tired like talking about Dead Rising.
I'm thinking about like the flashbacks of playing it. Is this,
yeah, you know what it is? I actually have a prepared quote for how I feel about Dead Rising. Mm-hmm. Okay, did you ever have like a high school teacher that gave you a B- because you worked really hard and like you're like a good student, but you really did not earn that B-? You were not very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I feel about Dead Rising.
Okay,
where like. There are a lot of aspects to this game that are not very good, and it does not add up to a B-. I should probably shell this game for a lot of bad aspects,
mm-hmm.
but Dead Rising is very unique.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like it, and this is the only game that I can think of where they did the Dawn of the Dead zombie thing, and I feel like this is a good game, but so much of it is so broken and so like... poorly directed, but for some reason I like it.
Right.
Like, I don't... Do you not like it? I don't know. How do you feel?
I don't like it. I respect it. I think it has a lot of interesting ideas, but just thinking about how you can't, or at least, like, you have to be better than me to get through it on one run-through, and the idea of having to restart it only to get to what you describe as what sounds like a nightmare... I don't know, because I just did not enjoy playing it. I think it's really interesting. I think it's very unique. I just don't have any connection to it from when it came out. So I think that might be why I feel worse about it, but it's, I don't know. It's just a mess. I feel like I really stressed it, like just the finished product, like forget all like, you know, all the ideas are great. I don't know. They just don't add up for me.
No.
I would say you're going with a B-.
Well, here's the... I put this in my quote. It's a B minus, but I don't think they earn this. Like,
yeah,
I think this is like a C game that I give a B minus because it is. We've talked about this before. I think we actually, we've talked about this a couple of times. I respect games in my old age of 31 where games that have good ideas in, even though definitely. If it's really, this is the maximum amount of jank I can take.
Yeah, that's the problem is that it's unfortunately past my limit with that, my personal limit. So I was trying really hard to figure out what I'm going to give it.
It's hard.
The thing is that I gave Last of Us Part 2 a C+. So I'm going to have to give this one a C because I don't like it as much.
Yeah, I know. And also, The Last of Us 2 is a very good production.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dead Rising, way.
It's a lot of good ideas that just didn't. You know what it is? I'd like to just take this game and like shake it.
Yes.
And if it rested in a different way, I think I'd like it more. You know, if it shook out a little differently.
Dude, here's the thing. I'm going B minus. It could be because I have a connection to it being my first next gen game. It's just, I don't know. Also, the game is kind of randomized. Perhaps I had better luck and I had a better time. It's possible.
There's just so much left to chance. It's not fun.
If I were to do a quick list,
yeah,
the AI is just inexcusably bad, even in the re-releases. Mm-hmm. The bosses, the best methods are to derp them and break the game. How is this game good? Like, but I think, you know what the positives are? You and I complain about open world games so much, and this is a kind of open world game that solves the problem of a lack of urgency and a lack of immediacy because they put you on a tight schedule and you can't dick around.
Yes, but it creates new problems.
It creates new problems.
So it's worth considering the next time we complain about it.
No, for sure. I actually think this is one of those games where I would love to say what I would change about it, but I think I would break it.
Honestly, I think if they stopped the phone ringing, it would be a C+. I think that was just too much.
You know,
for
if I could actually. Now, you've never played any of the other ones, right?
No. So I did want to ask you likes and dislikes. So there's 2, 3, and 4.
Yes.
Likes and dislikes about any of those?
Sure.
We didn't play them.
So
I didn't play them.
I actually kind of consider myself to be a Dead Rising fan, and okay. I can't believe this. The second one, how do I put this? The second one is a good game, mm-hmm. but they do this thing I don't like where there's a crafting system.
Oh,
you essentially like, do you want to put nails on a baseball bat? So
was that like 2009, 2010?
Yeah. So you don't play as Frank either. What's interesting about the second one is it's kind of timed. Mm-hmm. You have to get your daughter zombie medicine every 24 hours or it's an auto game over because she's infected and that's a part of the plot.
Cool.
It's kind of cool. And she's a little kid. She's like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And so, but they do some derpy stuff where you can make, essentially they made it Dead Island where you can make electric bats and electric, you know, like stupid stuff. What I like about the first Dead Rising is every weapon is kind of realistic. You have a baseball bat, you have a lawnmower, but the second one is unrealistic weapons and I don't like it, but the game itself is fine.
Yeah.
The third and fourth one are very bad. I would, I actually declare, I think it was a Facebook status of mine.
Yeah.
I declared Dead Rising 4 one of the worst games I've ever played.
Really?
It's up there. It is so broke.
So 4 is worse than 3?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. The games get worse and worse as they go.
Interesting.
The fourth one is so broken and so bad and so pointless. It was one of the first, when you and I, I'll look at you right in the face, when you and I thought about starting a podcast, Dead Rising 4 is one of the games where I said, I need to say how bad it is in public. Because it's so because it's so bad.
Do some of the gameplay issues get resolved in the other ones?
Kind of. It's you're pulling the Jenga blocks out because in the later games, the time limits are regressed. And in the fourth one, it's eliminated.
Right.
So the game has no urgency anymore.
But also the fourth one, apparently you play as Frank, right?
But it sucks, dude.
But like, isn't he supposed to be a zombie or like infected? Or?
Dude, don't even ask. Like, you think the lore to this game gets better? Like, do you think it holds up under scrutiny?
No, I just...
What are you expecting from me here?
I was just curious. So, Dead Rising 2 was 2010, so it makes sense they were flirting with crafting. 3 was
a launch title on Xbox One, I believe.
Yes, 2013. And 4, when was that? 2016.
It was relatively recent.
Yeah, so... with that in mind, what do you think about more Dead Rising? Do you want it?
You know, you and I kind of looked at each other during the making of this episode and we're like, remake?
That's the move, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think a Dead... Okay. I don't want to belabor this discussion because I feel like we've definitely talked the frustrations to death. Do you think a remake would benefit Dead Rising 1?
Absolutely.
Should we just leave it alone? Like,
no.
No. Wow. Do you have enough passion to play it again if they fixed it?
If they fixed it, yeah, absolutely. And I don't even like zombies. you know what it is?
I don't do this that often. I just sort of facepalmed and just had my head in my hands.
You know what it is? It's like people say this about movies all the time. Don't remake the classics. Remake the ones that had potential and fucked it up.
Yeah.
And Dead Rising, I think, is definitely, it seems to have a pretty loyal fan base. So, and Capcom's been doing very well critically and commercially with their remakes. So why not give it a shot?
You're right. I
just keep the clock. That's the one big thing.
That's, you know what? You and I, we're going to do a virtual pinky promise. Like if we ever get to direct Dead Rising 1, keep the clock.
Yes.
You do not get rid of the clock.
Or if you're listening to this and you have some, you can pull some strings. Make sure they keep that clock.
Do you know what's going to fucking happen? Ready? I'm laughing. Do you know what they're going to fucking do? They're going to re-release this game with the clock being optional. They're going to fucking do it.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
It's going to be called...
And I wouldn't necessarily hate that as long as it's an option, but, you know, like...
Dude, I just feel like you're asking for it. You do this.
What do you mean?
You do this to me. You ask for it, then you get it, and then you're like...
when has this happened before?
When you asked for... I want them to explain in Condemned why. Why? What's the voice thing? Well, then they explain
but
it.
I don't have that much invest because I think Condemned 1 is good, and then that's it. But it's the one little thing. And now I know, and I'm sorry, but I don't know. I don't think, I'm pretty committed that I think I would enjoy a Dead Rising remake more than this game, no matter what.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm pretty sure... You know,
if they could just, if you eliminate the best strategy in the game is to break it, eliminate you getting interrupted by phone calls. I feel like it would, you fix the AI.
I think it's all obvious stuff to them. Stuff if they were, because I think they play the games again. I think that's the way to do it. Like the BioShock 2.
Or like you get a survivor strategy. So far, they get back safely. You bring them to almost like an air conditioning duct, they get back.
Yeah, this is all stuff where if they were tasked with remaking the game, that would be the obvious stuff. It's not like taste things that I have an issue with. You know?
Is it weird for me? I could be wrong here. You could argue. Do you think this game is actually tastefully directed, but shittily made? If you think about it,
directing is also about bringing it together, and I don't think it comes together.
Okay. What's your final grade? You go C.
I'm going C on this one, but I do respect it. It's a high C, a respected C.
You know what? I am envisioning you shaking the hand of Dead Rising and saying, "I respect."
I don't like you, but I respect you.
I don't.
You
like
can marry my daughter, but I'm going to be really fucking pissed about it.
Have you ever seen? I don't remember who it was. It was a game developer who said, "I have a very good relationship with an." It was a game director.
Yeah.
Who said, "I have a very good relationship with another game director, but he's openly told me he thinks my games suck." Hey, I respect you, but I don't like you.
It's a big swing, and I respect the big swing.
Yeah, I do too. Is that all we have on Dead Rising?
That's all I got.
Bon up. Ow! Yeah, that's it. All right. We'll see you guys next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thanks.